Welcome to the Bumblecast, everyone. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is the leader of the mighty Bumble Crusaders, Kyle Krauss.
To crusade away. What's their catchphrase? Somebody help me.
Please join our Patreon.
Oh, I'm talking about the Mighty Crusaders catchphrase, not our catchphrase. Yeah,
they don't have one. They don't need catchphrases. They stand on their own merits.
That's their catchphrase then, right there. We don't need catchphrases. We stand on our own merits. Sounds perfect to me. And meanwhile, our catchphrase is, please join our Patreon.
Nothing more heroic than that. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm busy.
We're doing this.
Super excited because Mighty Crusaders number one comes out next week, December 6th, and we have a special guest to commemorate that, but I'm getting ahead of myself because we got a Bumble raffle to do.
Sure thing. We just got off Thanksgiving and we're ready to give away more stuff.
Because we've had all the stuffing we could take. Bada bum bum.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the Bumble Raffle is a contest we have every episode where you can win a free special prize from us. Our patrons over at patreon.com/bumblecast get automatically entered into every drawing. If you are not a patron and you want to enter in, just email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. Everybody's got the same chances. It's just the patrons get to be entered automatically, and everyone else has to write in every time. So this show's winner is...
Mike B.
Congratulations, Mike. We will get in touch with you ASAP.
All right.
So, you know what? I'm too excited. Let's just blaze right into the main topic.
Let's do it.
And now we move on to our special, wonderful segment of the show where we have a very special, wonderful guest, Kelsey Shannon.
Yay.
Welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad you can make it. So, for the folks who do not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? What makes you, you?
Well, my name is Kelsey Shannon. I'm a comic book artist. I've been drawing and coloring and inking comics for close to 20 years, I guess. My big claim to fame, I guess, if you can call it that, was doing a book called Bastard Samurai with Mike Oeming and Miles Gunter, probably 15 years ago at Image. And since then, I've just been working just anywhere the paychecks come, DC, Image, IDW, just all over the place, sort of a jack of all trades. You know, I just like enjoy comics, so wherever the work comes, I'm ready to go for it.
I know how that goes. And of course, right now you're working on Mighty Crusaders with Archie Comics and me.
Oh yeah, this is a blast. I mean, I started here helping out a friend coloring, and then I just enjoyed myself so much. I made it a point out of saying every time I talk to one of those guys, you know, I'd love to stick around, you know, and mm-hmm. they're like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing fine. I'd love to stick around, you know, so they were so good to me. And I've had some on and off experiences in the business. So once I find something good, I really like to stick with it. And thankfully they've been great. And now we're coming into this book, which is the Mighty Crusaders, which I must admit I didn't know too much about, but I'm learning as I'm going because I'm having to do a lot of research and they're a blast. I wanted to do something in the vein of like 90s superhero books, which is when I kind of came in. But learning more about Golden Age stuff and even Silver Age, I'm growing to be much more of a fan of like that stuff.
And one of the great things about the Mighty Crusaders themselves is it's got all the fun stuff of Kate books that we grew up on. But because it's not had the long runs like some of the other DC Marvel mainstays, there's these nuggets of awesome bits that you can just spin out of and you don't have to worry about slogging through 30, 40, 50, 70 years of continuity to know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was talking to somebody the other day about this, about how, this is such a unique thing, because everybody seems to know Mighty Crusaders in some form or another, but and they have some opinion of it because it's been done in so many different companies in so many different ways. In reality, it's such a unique opportunity as an artist in comics to want to do something like this, because you can leave a mark on the industry a lot easier on a book like this, because everybody, I mean, there's been hundreds of artists doing Batman and Justice League and all this, but there's really only been a handful of people do Mighty Crusaders.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like such a better opportunity to do something, one, you know, maybe something nobody's seen before, but hopefully something that feels comfortable to everybody, you know, and like, oh, this feels like stuff I loved, you know, but different.
Exactly. And I've seen what you've done with issue one, and it's freaking gorgeous start to finish.
Thank you. I'm responding to the script. I mean, quite honestly, do a little brown nosing here or anything, but I respond to the script, and like the work generally comes out of that. So if it's clear and good and there's great pacing and good acting, I pick up on all of that and try to translate that. So, you know, there you go. You did such a wonderful job, sir.
Thank you. Now, you did all the line art, right? Both pencils and inks?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And do you do those traditional, or do you do those digitally?
When I started, it was traditional, but I was one of the early adopters of digital drawing. There were a few other guys kind of playing around with it, but I do everything with right now. I used to started with, you know, pen and ink, and moved into Photoshop for coloring, and then started figuring out how to draw in Photoshop, and then just recently, within the last year, graduated to Manga Studio, which is now Clip Studio, and that is just, you know, fantastic for inking and comic booking, and it's awesome.
Now, are your pencils digital as well, or do you do those on the boards?
100% all digital.
Oh, everything, wow.
From square one onward is all digital, which is, it's crazy in some respect, because, you know, if you think about backing up all this digital content, you know, especially like, okay, for Mighty Crusaders, I want to be on this for at least the next 5 years, you know, so you can imagine how that quickly that will back up, you know, all this stuff. So trying to, back in the day, you know, you just have flat file. And of course that got annoying because you have pages and pages of comics stacking up in your closet, but it's the same way in digital, you know. You
right,
got so files and files stacking
hard drives
up.
Instead of a fort of paper.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's real important to get into print. And print is where the real addiction lies, because when you have print, it is saved for as long as those books are around.
Mm-hmm. But the beautiful thing about doing things digitally is that control Z. Oops, wrong line.
The undo function is handy.
Yeah, they have the history, which goes back quite a bit, enough that you can save some mistakes. But I find myself lately, because I'm having to move so much faster on a monthly book, embracing mistake, you know, and trying to fix things like you would with whiteout or something, where I'll just switch over to the clear brush that kind of, it works just like the regular ink brush, but it'll take away. So you can, it's almost, you know, it forces you to make better choices at the beginning, you know, instead of, oh, I can always rely on my undo button. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, since everything is digital and you're doing it all yourself from the same file, do you find that you're doing lighter pencil work and then refining everything in inks, or do you try to get everything down first on the pencil and then just refine when you get to the inks?
Yeah, as you go, at least for me, I as I go, I get more comfortable with like these characters. For instance, when we started the first one, I was doing really detailed layouts. So, I mean, they're basically my pencils, where every bit of information I can get into this tiny little drawing I'll do that so that I can just blow it up in ink and I don't have to worry about, am I doing too much detail or whatever? So I try to stick to that. But as we're going and I'm getting more comfortable with these characters and I'm finding out their little nuances and how their hairlines are and, you know, how, all the little details of their eyebrows and eyelashes and every little thing, I start to just do quick little gesture drawings that have loose, you know, circles for mouths and eyes and, you know, and then I'll just go in and quickly fine tune that with, you know, ink. But I'm still one of those guys that I'm still nervous. I used to do the real detailed pencils, you know, when I started, I was inking with pencil, as they say, you know, and not trusting the inker, you know, but
right.
I never had an inker. It was always me. So I was always just really obsessive over every detail. So it's been nice letting go and just kind of embracing the happy accident. So.
What's the average file size of these pages when you send them off to Matt to be colored?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think they can run between 3 and 6 megabytes, maybe, because they're inks. They're I'm sending him full size 11x17. I mean, they're digital, but they're 400 DPI, 11x17. I'm trying to get them as big as possible, and then he can resize them and do whatever he wants. But I have a feeling we're going to probably do them closer to comic book size as we go, because it does eat up less, you know, memory and all that other stuff. And,
And I know you've seen the pages, too, with Matt Herm's colors, and aren't they not just the most beautiful thing in the world?
I really love how he's doing this flat style, more animation with cuts and less grads, and I'm a real big fan of that because I love that painterly stuff, you know, like Laura Martin and all those guys doing the really super highly detailed painty stuff like at Marvel. But oh man, that just eats up time. And to be honest with you, I mean, people, they do notice that, but it's not as important as people put emphasis on. I mean, it's not that important. I mean, it's beautiful, and like I personally would save that for covers and let that interior stuff just be about communicating story, like, you know, just banging out story, make it fast, like the old school, you know, stuff. I mean, it wasn't so precious. But yeah, Matt's stuff, going back to that, I love just how vibrant and bright and just in your face all of it is. And then I was all nervous because a lot of it takes place in daytime. And I was like, oh, how's it going to handle like nighttime and caves and, you know, all the stuff that we got later on. I'm probably doing some spoilers. I don't probably.
You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. So far, so good.
Well, he does, you know, darkness and stuff really well. You can still see everything. I tend to go too dark when I color. Like when I'm doing dark, it's like dark, you know, and then when it prints, you're like, I can't see anything. Pardon me. I'm cussing now. I'm getting a little loose here.
That's fine.
But he does it like the way the Europeans do it, where darkness is not what would that be? A value? It's not light or dark. It's a color change. It's cools and cool colors and, you know, shades of purples and blues and grays and things like that. So you're still able to see everything. He lets the you know, the black placement of the inks be the darkest darks, you know, so
right.
Which is the way it should be. I mean, that's what it's for. So yeah, he's awesome. I'm really happy with what he's doing. And that makes me want to do more, like better, like the second issue of what you're working on right now. I'm specifically doing things just to see what he will do.
And see, on my end, as I'm writing it, now that I have a better idea of what you can do and how you're rendering the characters, I can write with you specifically in my mindset.
Oh, that's great.
And then I can play to your strengths, and then we all feed off each other, and it looks even better. And this is why I love comics, man.
Oh, yeah.
Just this.
Well, and that's what I love about this idea, too. This one thing. I mean, there's so many books out there right now, and I must admit, I'm not like really fluent in like everything that's going on, but I try to keep up with what's happening. But it seems like you have runs of about six issues between teams. Writers tend to go a little bit further, but like when I came in, it was about teams doing, you know, 20, 50, 100, you know, issues with fill-ins and stuff. But you got used to this voice of these of this team, you know, that, that eventually they work in harmony, you know, and they're putting out stuff. And it seems like we don't get to that sweet spot where these teams have worked together long enough to do really unique things. And it's all so designed and so, and that's what I love about this project is it feels like old school. It feels like, oh, we're just going to throw these guys together and we're going to crank out books and we're going to see what happens, you know? And mm-hmm. It's just fantastic. I love it.
I hope we go for a long time because the plans that I have. Oh, if the things I could tell you. But we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Without being too spoilery.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just have to give it up to Archie. I mean, they're very smart. I think they'll know if the plug has to be pulled, but it really feels like they're willing to take a shot on doing something just fun and classic, and it's not trying to say anything except for, you know, here's some entertainment and a great story and here's some cool characters and we'll see what they're up to every month. You know,
exactly.
That's what I like about comics, that stuff.
Now, without getting too spoilery,
mm-hmm.
You had to redesign the team because it's kind of a new take on the property. It's a semi-continuation of what we had going on in New Crusaders, but it's its own thing. It stands on its own two legs. Mm-hmm. So the characters that we have are inspired by what came before, but they are their own incarnations. So that's got to be a tricky nut to crack because you're told, here are these iconic characters. Here's how they're known to look. Make them new, but not too new.
Well, I wasn't that familiar with, I guess it was your last incarnation, the New Crusaders, and they didn't really provide me with a lot. They just kind of threw me in the deep end, which was great because I tried to do costumes that it seems like today and even in the 90s, everything was... Well, in the 90s, everything was pouches and, like, boots and jackets and, you know...
Gun belts.
Yeah, accoutrement, you know. And then you have today, which is sort of inspired by the movies, where everything is very layered and thick and, like, there's... You could tell it's this, you know, heavy costume. And they're getting back to, you know, basics, actually. But there was this period where everything was very, you know... for lack of a better term, Mad Max, you know, in a way, everything is like leather, heavy leather and like, you know, but I wanted to go back to, you know, I keep having that Teen Titans, George Perez Teen Titans ringing in my ears when you guys first approached me with this and, or I guess Alex approached me that is like traditional, skin tight, you know, spandex, you know, maybe that doesn't work in movies, but it works great in comic books. It's very simple. You just create clean lines and, you know, don't, it's just simplified and colorful. And, that's kind of when I went for it. But I went straight from, I guess, the new Adventures of Mighty Crusaders, which I guess was second season of it, which was Rich Buckler, I think, was drawing it, and the first one. So I was drawing from the original stuff, and what I did was we had one particular main character. I don't know if we can say who it is, but she had her own series, and we kept her costume pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. Only I took parts away. That were that accoutrement, you know, those, you know, belts and all this other stuff, and tried to simplify it. And since she was seemed like a very focal point in the development of this series, I took her iconography that they've had designed, and I spread that through the rest of the team. And it's such a, you know, I'm so glad I didn't think about it too much because I now having more of an idea of who these characters are and their relationship to everyone else who reads comics. They all seem to know these guys, have an opinion, and I'm just glad I had to do it quickly, and because I probably would have stressed over it a lot more.
Honestly, I really, really like the way that you took that central theme and spread it across the team, because I'm a sucker for the old blue and gold X-Men theme.
Yeah, same here.
And you did this perfect, in my humble opinion, this perfect balance of keeping everyone in the same theme without it looking redundant. You know, you don't look at anyone and get confused. They all look like they're part of the team. And then the characters who are not quite in the same theme, that tells the story of who they are right there.
Yeah.
So it's all these wonderful, simple visual cues. And yeah, the costume designs are great. Is there any one character in particular that you are favorable towards, the one that you liked the best?
Let me see. Oh man, I'm like a parent, you know. I'm like it's hard to pick, you know, favorites. But my favorite costume is for a character that we haven't seen that particular version of yet. So she's appeared, you know, her super, or I guess quote unquote her alter ego so far. So I'm trying to think of how to say this without saying it, you know, like
you can name.
Oh, well, okay.
Name drop it. And folks will figure it out as the book comes out.
Well, it's hard. I don't know. What's, I'm drawing a blank. The ghost,
Darkling.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, her alter ego, her, I guess if you can call it that, her other self, you know, if we're even going to get to that part, but she's like, you know, dark and angsty and, you know, I don't know, just very interesting. I also like Sterling a lot, Steel Sterling, because he's closer to the original old school design, and I haven't captured him yet. Like, he seems to be the hardest one to figure out for me. And I don't know why that is. But yeah, it's a tricky thing. I like them all in, you know, for their various things. I'd have to say my favorite part are the villains and stuff that pop in and out. those present a chance to like draw something new and unique. I mean, I really enjoy that. But as far as the team goes, I'm still kind of figuring that out. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I hate that question when I get it, but it's always fun to put people on the spot with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tricky one. That one really threw me for threw for a loop there.
This episode is airing on the 27th, which means you folks listening to it now, you can pick up Mighty Crusaders number one at your local comic store or on archiecomics.com this coming Wednesday, December 6th. Kelsey, is there anything else you're just super jazzed about with the book that you want to point out before we really get ahead of ourselves and spoil everything?
Oh, well, there's a lot of great covers that are coming with this. I didn't know how many they had. I mean, I was like, who's doing alternate cover? And they were like, well, Matt Smith, who I love. And I just assumed, not knowing Archie, hello, they do a lot of different covers. I just thought Matt was going to do all of them. And covers started coming in from this Torres, and I forget the first name, from Matt Smith, from Phil Jimenez, right? I mean, just all these guys that are, and I just go and sneak and take a look at them on the server. But there's so many like really cool. I'm actually redrawing characters based on how other artists are doing them. You know, look at how he did Darkling. Oh, look at how he approached the little costume niches there. Oh, you know, and then I'm subtly trying to redesign. Hopefully nobody's noticing, you know, but because I had to draw these guys first, it's kind of, you know, maybe I didn't think it through all the way. You know, I'm seeing these other artists do it, like, oh, that was a good idea. Let me.
You have set the standard. You are now the look of the next chapter in the Crusaders.
Well, that's what I do love. Like, I can't wait for, you know, say 25 issues from now. I want to go for as long as I can go before someone else gets a stab at this. But I do look forward to the idea that this book will keep going X-Men style, or, you know, and other artists can come in and put their little stamp on it. And where they will go with it. That's just really exciting, you know, the idea of that. Because I've seen everything that's come before, and I love that stuff. But we haven't had a real new long-form Mighty Crusaders storyline, which could really evolve and change over time. And that's exciting with the potential of this. So, you know, I'm hopeful. Very hopeful.
Oh, absolutely. And I am. Oh, I have plans. Oh, plans. Maybe after the show, I shall tell you these plans. stick around. We're going to have a plug in a minute. But now Kyle and I are going to move on to. Now, normally in the show, we would have space for an ad by one of our patrons or our listener. We don't have anybody right now. But if you want us to promote something on the Bumblecast, just head over to patreon.com/bumblecast and buy yourself some ad space.
That's right. Let's get into some Q&A. If you want to ask your questions for the Q&A, hit us up via email at bumblecast@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can use the hashtag Bumblecast and either tag at IanFlynnBKC or at KyleJCRB or both. Or you can leave your message over on Patreon, whether it be in the comments or as a private message over there. All right, now it's time for some standard Q&A. This first one comes from Corey S. When it comes to Sonic number 174, was the Hershey/St. John cameo really a mistake? If so, how long was Hershey supposed to be undercover since Sonic 134 or 142 when she made a cameo in Amy's story?
Oh, shoot.
This is going back pretty far.
Now, my first issue there was 160, so I can't really speak to anyone's intentions before that.
Sure.
With 174, I'm fairly certain it was a mistake, with the idea being that she and Jeffrey were pretty much always away on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
But without going back and rereading all that and refamiliarizing myself, I can't say with certainty. Ultimately, it was not a big deal, I guess.
Mm. All right. Next one comes from Diamond Death. Fill in the blanks. Fang is a sniper because he shoots. Bean is a dynamite because he makes bombs. And Bark is a blank because he blanks. I know he's a polar bear, but he's the odd one out here. I'm thinking we should call him Bark the Beef because he's beefy. Or maybe Bark the Fist because he punches.
Bark is a polar bear because that's what he wants to be. And when you can do what he does, you don't argue with Bark.
No.
He doesn't have to say anything. You say, hey, Bark. Are you the beefy? And he just kind of cracks his knuckles and like, you're the polar bear. Got it. No problem there. Let's just move on.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about Bark is he doesn't argue with you. If you try to argue with him, he just punches you. So, yeah, it's just what he wants to be, and that's how it is. Yeah.
Dig a shallow grave in the tundra, but it doesn't matter because he's crumpled you like a paper ball.
Pretty much. And our last question on this episode comes from Sonic Blue Ranger. Was Uncanny Valley High an idea you pitched to Space Goat, or did they come to you to develop it?
Good question. Don't get a lot of questions about Uncanny Valley High. So cool on you for knowing about it.
That's why I threw it in here.
Space Goat approached me with a project. And said, this is what we want to do. Do you have any ideas? And me being me said, of course. And we went from there.
Okay. So they came
with the basic premise, and I fleshed everything out from there, from characters to some of the sight gags to the fine-tuning the premise, pitching the individual stories. They basically came with the core idea, and I got to flesh it out from there.
That sounds familiar. Like, we've done that before.
Well, I'm sure I spoke about it when it was coming out on the Bubblecast, but, you know, sure. Never hurts to refer. Exactly. It's still coming out. Like, they're trickling out bits and pieces, so be sure to check it out. I know I tweet it every time they've got pages coming, so check out my Twitter. We'll get to that when we get to the plugs.
All right. Well, we're pretty much at the plugs, so, because we're done with the Q&A, so let's move on to our outro. Ian, what do you got for me?
And then we've got all that done. Let's see if I can do this again.
Can you, 2 weeks in a row. Can you do it? 2 episodes in a row.
Before we wrap up the show, I'm going to give a big shout out to everyone who makes this show possible over on patreon.com/bumblecast. All of you are beautiful people, and we greatly appreciate all the support that you've shown us. Here we go. All our patrons. One breath. Daniel H, Alex P, Zephyr Flame, Chris A, Damo, John B, Sam Cyberhead, Mike B, Connell T, Samuel P, Justin G, Jennifer R, David C, Revan the Light, Diane W, Lisa M, Today's Passenger, Artendi M, Scruffy Matt, Lee H, K, James G, Chevelle, Don B, Sin Fritz, AE, Double Taco, Elgato Comics, John M, Isabrovich 9X, darn it, James K, Overthink Films, Adam T, and Ron.
Oh, it sounded like you were going to make it.
So close, and yet so far.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, you know, at least you did it that one time.
I didn't, and I will do it again.
It will happen again. You just, the rest of you out there also just have to become patrons, so. That'll help. The more patrons we have, the more likely Ian is to be able to say all the names in one breath. You can do it. I believe in you.
So that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Kelsey, is there anything that you want to plug, anything you're working on besides Mighty Crusaders, or anything you want to give a shout out to?
Other than Mighty Crusaders, which is an ongoing, I also have another ongoing series at Image called Dark Fang with an old longtime collaborator. We worked on Bastard Samurai, Miles Gunter, and that's coming out November 15th. And the first issue of that. And that's about a vampire that takes on our world's ecology problem on her own, I guess. So it's an interesting story. A new take on vampires. Never heard from quite like it. But, yeah. Check it out.
And is there anywhere online folks can find you? Portfolio, social media, that sort of thing?
I'm all over the place. I got the DeviantArt, RoboWorks at DeviantArt, whatever. I got the Facebook and I'm all over the place. You can find me.
Just Google Kelsey and.
You can find me. I'm out there.
Kyle, where can the fine people find you?
You can find me right here on the Bumblecast or at KyleJCRB on Twitter. Or you can head on over to KNGI.org where you can find archived episodes of the Bumblecast along with my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which is a video game music remix show that I host every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time live streaming on 8bitx.com. And what about you, Ian?
You can find me at bumbleking.com that has all my current projects and my body of work, or on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And that's it.
All right. Thank you again, Kelsey, and thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. And now we move on to our special, wonderful segment of the show where we have a very special, wonderful guest.
Me?
Kelsey, what's your last name? I can't remember.
Shannon.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. We're professionals here. This is why we edit it. Okay. Pick up in 3, 2, 1. Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you liked our show, be sure to hit the subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans on how to make the show even better. Also, rate and review our show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay-what-you-want download.